Let's talk about the best professional franchise in Oregon. Yeah, I said it. The Portland Timbers, the 2015 MLS champs, currently leading the West. He's their play-by-play guy. You might recall his time here in Eugene at KEZI Sports. We welcome back Jake Zibben. Yo, Jake, how's it going?
Hey, Steve Cannon, great to be back on the air in Eugene. Good to talk to you. I hope all is well. It's been a little bit.
Yeah.
But I hope everything's well down there.
All is well. I don't complain because nobody cares. So where are we at? Yeah, where are we at now? How long have you been the voice of the Timbers, and how are things going on that gig?
Yeah, things are great. This is my second year doing TV and fourth year overall. So I did radio for a couple seasons, the first one of which overlapped with my last year at KEZI down there in Eugene, and then been up here for about 2.5 years now, full-time in Portland. It's been great. I miss Eugene. I miss my friends at KZI who are still down there, some of whom are still down there. But it's awesome. Soccer is my sport, and it's certainly been a dream for me. It's been great.
You know, I was looking at attendance numbers, which are up a tad from last year. I mean, obviously, yeah. Where you are, you know, Portland last weekend sold out, San Jose, Orlando. We know how passionate the Tims fans are. But the cities you visit where the locals are all over it, I mean, what are some of the other cities in this league where the fans are as nuts as the Timbers?
Yeah, so I would say that Portland's at the top, and of course I'm biased, but there's been 111 straight sellouts, literally every MLS match at Providence Park since the Timbers started playing in 2011 in MLS has been sold out. It's a remarkable run. Timbers supporters don't like to compare themselves to Seattle, but of course Seattle's great. They get 40,000 a game. Different sort of feeling because it's CenturyLink, right? So it's an NFL stadium. It's really big. You're not as close to the field. The atmosphere can be a little diluted up there because of that, but the support, the numbers is fantastic. You certainly can't discount that. Kansas City is kind of a sleeper market where they totally rebranded this team. They were playing at Arrowhead back in 96. Then they played at a minor league baseball stadium for a little bit. They opened up a beautiful stadium outside of Kansas City, actually. It's not in the urban core, which is a little bit different from what's been successful in MLS. But they have an awesome fan base. They have a great atmosphere. And then a couple of newer teams that we haven't been to yet because they're out east and we only do a kind of 1 year you're at home, the next year you're away. Atlanta has come onto the scene this year. They're playing great. They have great support. Over 30,000 season tickets already sold for when they – it's incredible. And they're going to play in the Mercedes-Benz Dome, the new, you know, kind of competitor to AT&T Stadium, I think, as far as – huge, massive domes go nationwide where the Atlanta Falcons are going to play Arthur Blank's stadium. Arthur Blank owns Atlanta United as well, so that stadium
right.
is built with both teams in mind. They might actually have to expand the soccer seating because of the season ticket demand for Atlanta. They had planned on cutting off the total upper bowl and have it just be the lower bowl for soccer with kind of these big fans that would keep the noise in. They might have to expand that now and rethink that because they have such great support. Orlando just opened a new season this year. It's awesome. They get great support. So you've got these new markets that are doing really well, and I think the goal, of course, league-wide is for every team to kind of come up to the level of a Portland, of a Seattle, of an Atlanta and Orlando.
No, it's amazing. Now, a couple weeks back, you tweeted out a picture from Philly. By the way, folks could follow Jake at Jake Zibben. Great view, the Commodore Barry Bridge in the background. And I know they played there 2 years ago during the championship season. That's still a relatively new place. So how cool was that facility? And, of course, I've got to ask, having lived there, are the Philly soccer fans as nuts as the hockey and football fans?
They were booing during the game. Philadelphia, their team has struggled this year. They're in last place. They don't have a win yet. They played 6 games. So the fans are getting antsy there. It's not quite as bad. I think Eagles fans or Flyers fans or Sixers fans have had it rough. But Philly fans, they'd be booing game one if they don't get a win. It's taken Philadelphia Union fans a little bit longer, but I think there is some antsiness there. The stadium itself is nice. It's new-ish. I think 2010, 2009 is when it opened, when Philadelphia came into the league. It has that awesome view of the Commodore Barry Bridge, which is kind of an iconic view amongst MLS stadiums. But it's not in a great location. It's in Chester, Pennsylvania, which is about 30 minutes, probably longer depending on traffic, south of the city core in Philadelphia. So it's a drive to get there. There's not great public transportation to get out there. They get decent support, but they're a market to me that that's tough. There was kind of a trend in MLS, get a stadium built wherever you can get the land, wherever you can get it built in the metropolitan area just to get a soccer-specific stadium. And then Portland and Seattle came into the league, and I think it kind of opened everybody's eyes to, and Vancouver is the same way, location of the stadium matters. And if you can put it in downtown where young people are living, where there's bars and restaurants in walking distance from the stadium, public transportation to the stadium, it makes a big difference. And we've seen it in Portland, how awesome the support's been. Again, Seattle, Vancouver's the same way. Philly's on the other side, where the location does hamper it a little bit.
No, when I saw that, I just, having been there, it kind of struck me as odd. Yeah. But in that game, on a penalty kick, Fernando Adi, historic moment, I saw it. So that made him the all-time leading goal scorer in franchise history. He actually tried to steal the ball. The ref took it back. That's his fourth season with the Timbers. So just being a part of it, how cool was that moment? And for folks not overly familiar, what kind of player has he been for this franchise?
Fernando Adi has been phenomenal. He deserves that record. It's a weird record because the Timbers have only been in MLS since 2011, but they count their kind of all-time, all-era stats that go back to 1975 when they came into the NASL, which was the old league, and Pele was playing in New York, and all these big stars came to the league. It ultimately failed after about a decade. But the Timbers had great support even back then. And the records are still considered the same. Yeah, that era, you had the USL era. They played from about 2001 until 2011 when they came into MLS in USL, which is essentially a minor league, the second division of soccer in MLS. And those records count on that standings as well. So it is more significant than just kind of a six-year, seven-year MLS season record. And he deserves it. He's a huge player. I mean, for MLS, for soccer standards, he's a big guy. He's 6'4". He's listed at 185. That's what he was listed when he came here 4 years ago as, I think, a 23, 22-year-old. He's definitely bulked up. He's at least 200, 210 now. He's a physical beast, very difficult for opposing defenders to handle. He'll play with his back to the goal. He'll what's called hold-up play, where he's basically posting up a player. He gets the ball in the midfield, and then he's distributing to a handful of creative, fast players that will have kind of running off of him. And then he finishes. He's a pure finisher in the box. He's been one of the best forwards in MLS the past 4 years, I think even a little bit underrated because he doesn't have maybe the international name that some guys do when they come in. He came in young and is making his name in MLS as opposed to a guy like David Villa, who's playing in New York right now, Sebastian Giovinco in Toronto, who were internationally well-known players when they came into the league. But he deserves a record, and he's been fun to watch, and it was great to have that call. You know, we don't do every game on TV because a lot are on national TV.
Right.
And if you were getting close to the record, we're kind of looking at the schedule, and we're thinking, man, I hope he breaks it on our air, you know, so we can do the call that he doesn't break it on ESPN, and it ended up working out that way.
All right, let's wrap with this. Obviously, it's early. The MLS regular season ends the latter part of October. Timbers out strong, 16 goals, 4-9 against. Team put together by Gavin Wilkinson, well-coached by Caleb Porter. So how do you feel about the overall strength of this club and their ability to kind of sustain and maybe make another postseason run?
Yeah, this year has been their best start. I mean, even when they won MLS Cup, they started a little slow, and then they were just phenomenal at the end of the season. They turned it on, and they went on a run in the playoffs. But this year, from game one, they've been the best team in the league, and it's been really fun to watch. To me, it seems sustainable. They've got a ton of talent. You mentioned the 16 goals, most in MLS, so they're fun to watch. They're playing attacking style of soccer where they want to have the ball. They want to control the game, and fans of other sports, it's kind of a weird concept maybe, because in basketball, well, both teams have to score. Yeah, one team can be more defensive, maybe they slow it down, but every team has the ball about the same amount of time. In soccer, it's different. You have different styles. You might have a team that wants to defend but then counter and get their goals that way and win games 1-0, 2-0, 2-1. The Timbers, I think, want to win every game 4-0 if they can. They want to have the ball. They want to attack. and it's fun. It's more fun to, I think, personally, watch that style, call that style of play. So the loss last week at home, Kansas City, was a different kind of game. Weren't used to seeing a team bottle up the Timbers as well as Kansas City did, especially this year. So another test tomorrow, 1 o'clock against Vancouver. It's a rivalry match. I think we'll really see a little bit more of what the Timbers are made of, how they respond to a loss at home for the first time this year. That game down there in Eugene is on KEVU, so everybody down there can watch it over the air tomorrow. I think it's going to show a lot about the Timbers, but personally, you know, I'm bought in, and I'm, of course, biased, but this is the best that I've seen them play early in a season, and I don't see any reason why it won't continue throughout the whole year.
All right. He's Jake Zivin, voice of the Timbers, 1 o'clock tomorrow at Vancouver. They're having a great start to the season. Jake, always great catching up. We'll certainly chat as the season moves along, and thanks for the time.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Great to be on back in Eugene, Steve, and talk to you again. And we'll talk soon.
Looking forward to it. Take care, pal.